We have three scriptures to read this morning. The first two are kind of short, so maybe you want to just listen to those. The third one, Matthew 14, 1 through 13, maybe you want to get your Bibles out or your device out and read along. First one is John 10, 39 to 40. Again, Jesus' Jewish opponents tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the wilderness where John had been baptizing in his early days. Mark 1, 35 and 36. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went looking for him. And Matthew 14, 1 through 13. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and had put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oath and his dinner guest, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place.
There have been three times in my life that I have gone into the woods and gotten completely disoriented, got turned around completely, and it's unnerving. You'd think I'd learn. Maybe take a compass along? I don't know. The first time was while deer hunting. I entered a twisty 30-acre swamp because I had heard that that's where the very big, large antler deer settle down when they're chased. And so into the dense underbrush of rhododendron and laurel and low-hanging hemlock branches I went. I went into the swamp, sat for a few hours, saw nothing, so headed back out the way I came in, I thought. And wouldn't you know it, I ended up coming out completely on the other side of the swamp, which is disappointing. And though not tragic, and a much longer trudge back home, I did wonder where I had messed up, how I had circled off course and never knew it. Then the second time, on a three-hour hike that covered a large area of woods near our growing up farm and through neighboring woodlands covering about 600 acres, I was on very familiar turf. I knew my way around, I knew the landmarks, until the last stretch, which had been recently logged, and the landscape had changed, and it threw me off course. Instead of on the road back to the house, I came out to the exact spot where I went in, and I did not want to be there, which was laughable. And so, yeah, one time I went in one place and planned to exit at the same place and missed and exited at the opposite end. And another time went in at one place and planned an exit spot, but instead ended up right back where I started, which was further from home, and again I wondered where I had gone off course. Deep woods can be disorienting. You'd think I'd learn, maybe a map would help, perhaps. The last time was about 2 years ago. I took a full day to go away and clear my thoughts and to do some hiking up near Caledonia State Park, around Long Pine Reservoir. That was the plan. I was going to slow walk around the whole reservoir and think. That was the plan. Except that an hour in, I found out that the walking trail dead ends at the spillway. Well, okay, no problem. I backtracked back over the dam breast and then found another footpath off to the right that looked like it might go where I wanted to go. It was a lower trail around the reservoir, I thought. Yeah. And so I took it with a fair amount of hiking hope and enthusiasm. But alas, it did not go where I wanted to go. And before long, I had to admit I was pretty far afield in unfamiliar turf. I did not know the landmarks. I was not able to see far enough to gain my bearings. And it's funny what your mind begins to conjure up in those moments of losing your bearings, like, what time's it getting to be? And you check to see where the sun is in the sky. Looks to be around 3 o'clock, and is that going to be enough time to find my way back out? I did have my phone with Google Maps on it, but as fate would have it, it had been on roam and had sucked the battery down to blinking red and then shut off all the way to dead, which released another dose of adrenaline into the system, and I began to pick up the pace, and even more thoughts began to jumble into my head, like retrieving the old advice to follow and find a creek and find it, follow the flow downstream to somewhere, to civilization, to Fayetteville, to Shippensburg, or somewhere. Or to look for a cave, should it come to that, which may have helped me overnight, but would have done not much for Connie. And do black bears live in caves? And those turkey buzzards and vultures circling overhead seem to have a target. And it was not funny. And do they sense something? Is nature outsmarting me? And then you notice you're breathing heavier because you're walking faster and your mind has quickened its pace. Being disoriented does something to you. It does something to your head. It makes you weird. And it is no fun. It is not funny. So over the 2 months of Sundays that we have been following Jesus around to see where he goes on our planet, and some of those Jesus geography places you can stick pin on a map, like Egypt, still there. And Nazareth and Bethany and Samaria and Caesarea Philippi, the Sea of Galilee was on the map then, and it's still there. You can stick pin locate it. And I don't know how you think about Jesus if to you, you think that Jesus was born with and was always secure in his divine purposes, that Jesus always knew where Jesus was going next, that Jesus always walked a straight line, that Jesus never had to veer, never had to break stride. But I don't know. In some ways, if we keep mapping Jesus' whereabouts the way we have been doing, it seems as if Jesus is more like the guy in the Humana commercial on television, jogging this way and then that, and turning on his heels in the middle of the street and jogging left and then right, turning on a dime and making a windy and circuitous route. Yeah, in some ways, Jesus is not on a straight line at all. And there are times when Jesus turns on his heels and goes off-road to deserted places to be by himself. And these deserted places where Jesus goes off-road were not always his first option, not his first choice. Like Mark 1:12 has always been curious to me, where it says that the Spirit immediately drove Jesus into the wilderness. Drove Jesus out into the wilderness. I mean, are we to believe that Jesus was fist-pumped eager about this journey into the deserted place that time? Did he know what was coming next? That it would wear him down, would wear him out? And when Jesus had been in the deserted place for a long time, it says that when Jesus came back out, angels attended to him, attended to Jesus' well-being. Jesus was whooped. Good times? Happy times? I think not. And are we to assume anything different for us? In the lesson from Matthew that Paul read, we just heard read aloud, is another place to ponder. In this not ready for primetime scripture, in this R-rated for mature audiences only scripture, in a bout of political intrigue and butchery, Jesus' colleague John the Baptist is beheaded, and his severed head is served on a platter at Herod's birthday bash, which is dreadful. It is despicable. So horrid and vile a thing, and when Jesus hears about it, he withdraws to a deserted place by himself. Jesus goes off-road, off-map, on purpose. And it would be okay to ask, was this in the Galilean plan? Was this how it was all supposed to go? One day, a teacher of mine was telling us, our class, about his grandmother. This teacher was from the flatlands of Iowa and was talking about the day it became time for his grandmother to move from her farmhouse. She had been born in the house, she had been raised as a child in the house, was married in that house, had raised her own family in that big farmhouse, but now it was needed for the next generation of family working that farm. By now, her husband had passed, and she was living alone, and it seemed expedient that she move off. But she was dragging her feet, until finally she agreed to make the move on one condition, that an exact duplicate house be built for her 1 mile down the road. And so that's what her family did. Built her a mirror image house situated on the building lot facing in the same direction. Same floor plan, same porch, same kitchen, same number of rooms, same curtains, same floor tiles, everything the same, and she moved in and her life resumed. And sure, we can smile at such a story, but at one level or another, we all construct our surroundings to suit our need for order. We orient ourselves accordingly. There is comfort in our schedule. There is relax in the normal. We might like birthday gifts, surprises, but please keep the big surprises out of life away from me. They can be too big, too heavy to handle. This week I got one of those out of the blue Facebook pop-up notes. A nice to hear from, sorry to hear about, out of the blue kind of note from such a great person. The kind of kid for whom you'd vote upon leaving home the most likely to succeed in life. She had everything going for her: strong family, deep Christian faith, Christian college, new job, new marriage, which had just been blown out of the water. A Facebook note to say, I am in a deserted place. It is such a tailspin. It is so unsettling. Now, if you're one who has walked the path of grief, you know it. If you've been plunged into a car wreck, you know it. If you've lost a job, been served up bad news from a doctor, been jilted by a lover, been ostracized from your family, betrayed by your best friend, had to relocate for any reason, you know how much it throws you off your game, how frazzling it can be. Some of you met my brother Mike last Sunday. If he were to take this position and tell you his life story, it would include his fight with stage 4 colon cancer. And that he is still walking is amazing when plenty of others are not. But I will tell you, one of the more fascinating things about Mike is that while he was in the desert, in the wilderness of his life, in the rudderless moments of years of chemo and crap, he came out on the other side a strikingly different person that went in, which I still find amazing about my kid brother. It was as if his journey in the wilderness changed him. It was as if his life had been once chugging along, then became disoriented, but then while in the desert became reoriented. Another short scripture cut we heard read aloud this morning was from Mark's gospel. Not nearly so dramatic this time. Not life or death hanging in the balance, not this time. It says, Jesus got up before the roosters while it was still dark, gets up early and goes out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. Hunted for him. Hunted for Jesus. Went Jesus hunting. The disciples getting up, wondering, Which way did he go? Where do you think he went? Why did Jesus give us the slip? he planning to come back? Jesus gets up, gives his disciples the slip, goes off to a deserted place to pray. Now, I've heard it said, I've never been to a desert, but I've heard it said that they can be disorienting places, mirages that can fake you out, the expanse of sameness, the monotonous sandscapes that might be beautiful on a tour bus, but can be sameness on steroids if you're there for very long. Yet that's where Jesus goes, off into deserted places to pray. And we can wonder about that. As Paul said, I agree. The introvert part in me gets that. Going into a quieter space, I get that. But Jesus is praying, and couldn't Jesus have prayed anywhere he wanted? I mean, he's Jesus. And we're not told what Jesus is praying about, what Jesus is thinking, why he ditched his disciples. All we're told is that Jesus went off-road. My Facebook friend was not asking Pastor Connie and I for fix-it prayers. She has no idea of what will become of things, if anything at all can be put back together again. She does not know, nor was she asking us to pray for that. She was saying, I am in a hard place. Life does not always come on schedule. It can be a desert. Help me pray for what life will look like on the other side of that desert. Whatever it looks like, help me to pray and reorient my life. In this current Jesus Geography series, we are following Jesus around in a kind of map quest fashion, maybe looking for a Google Earth pattern to his travels. We have said it more than once that Jesus was not exactly a globetrotter. And if Paul and Jesus had put pedometers strapped to their wrists, Jesus would have come in second. So I suppose we could say it's not about the mileage. There were times in Jesus' life when the drama surrounding him could be too much to handle, like the horrid John the Baptist head on a platter birthday bash incident. And when Jesus heard about it, he withdrew to a deserted place by himself to escape. And in John 10, when Jesus is being hunted down for an arrest, he goes across the Jordan into the wilderness region and remains there and stays there. In Mark 1, there is less drama, but when life is coming at Jesus pretty fast in the morning, while it was still very dark outside, Jesus gets up and slips into a deserted place and prays. And there is scant evidence that Jesus is praying for his life to be somehow better. What does seem to be the case is that Jesus goes off to deserted places not to escape but to reorient when the drama of his life comes pushing and shoving. And I wish I could zip up the sermon in a neat and tidy fashion for you, but I cannot. All I can say is that more than once, Jesus went off into deserted places and was different when he came back out. And that there is some evidence by some of God's people that despite the push and shove drama that life deals out, that we too can do the same. We can come back out. We can come back out renewed and wiser and grounded and to keep living our lives forward. Could I offer a prayer? Lord, in this space with my congregation, I want to offer prayers for my friend. Help her to reorient. Lord, I also want to offer prayers for those persons here who know full well that life does not come with a schedule. Lord, grant those who are walking in deserted places the strength, the availability, the fortitude, the searching to find grounding in God once again.